Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And we are still in July, so we are still talking about going to court in Queensland. And today I am going to talk about a very popular topic, which is QCAT, which is the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, and revisiting that with everyone. I've definitely talked about QCAT before in podcasts, and you can go back to have a look at those. But today we're just going to look at QCAT as a whole because a lot of people contact me about QCAT. If you have a dispute or if you have some kind of minor matter, I guess it's one of the first places that you may end up because QCAT covers quite a large variety of matters that occur in Queensland. And when I say a variety, it is truly a variety. So they deal with some building and construction type disputes. So you might have QBCC matters going there. They're dealing with general consumer issues, minor debt disputes, body corporate disputes will end up there. Discrimination complaints might end up there. Residential tenancy disputes definitely end up there. You'll also find that some retail leases will end up there, and there's quite a significant monetary limit on the retail and commercial leases in there being $750,000. So it really is quite varied. Oh, and I forgot the two things that people contact me about all the time. Dividing fences go in there and tree disputes. So where you have a dispute with your neighbor, maybe about a fence or a tree, that also ends up in QCAT. So it's quite significant. If you have listened to my other podcasts about enduring powers of attorney or some estate planning matters, you'll know that sometimes decisions around adults with impaired capacity, guardianship administration, that will go to QCAT as well. So it is really varied. When you go to QCAT, it's very different to going into kind of the main. No, I guess they're not really mainstream, but I guess the more formal court processes of the magistrates, district, and Supreme Court, which we've been talking about the last few weeks. QCAT is really designed for what we'd refer to as lay people. You know, everybody that's, I guess, not a lawyer, really. It's really designed for you to make your application, turn up and get your matter heard without the intervention of any lawyers. The reality is that just because it's a small matter does not mean it's not a complex matter. I have helped people in residential tenancy disputes, minor debt disputes, looking at issues with enduring powers of attorney, you know, decision making for adults. It's quite varied what can end up in there. The thing that I want to focus on really today is kind of minor debt disputes that can end up there. So that's disputes against a person, a business, or a company for a fixed or agreed sum of money. You wouldn't be going into QCAT if you had kind of an unknown quantification of damages. You might be better off going into a formal process. But let's say you had a contract that specifically said you do work for somebody for $10,000 and that was in the contract and that $10,000 owed for you, QCAT is where you would end up. So QCAT now is very much online. You do your application online, the filing process is online, but when you are against an individual, the service still has to be personal service, which is fine. It just means that you have to personally serve someone with the documents. So in terms of the QCAT process, it is currently quite long. The last time I looked at an estimate from start to finish of a matter in QCAT, It was approximately 46 weeks. They actually have quite a significant backlog at the moment. I think because of the, and I guess I can't speak for QCAT or people working at QCAT, but from what you'll be able to see just looking at their website, they're dealing with such a variety of matters. Things are taking quite a significant period of time to get resolved. And that's understandable, you know. So how I help people with QCAT is really around the documentation and preparation. So when you file an application in QCAT, as I said before, it's all online. And what generally happens when you have a minor dispute is that you go straight into a mediation. And that's done by a professional mediator, usually on the phone, and they go back and forth trying to settle the dispute so it doesn't go any further. If that doesn't work, you then usually get a notice either about a final hearing or you might get a notice about a directions hearing. And then you go to a hearing essentially to argue your case in front of a member. It's important to know that the majority of the time in QCAT, they're not judges, they're members, they are suitably qualified. So for example, if it's something relating to, let's say, decision-making for adults with impaired capacity, they will have somebody that has the expertise there. They try to make sure the members have the expertise in the area that they're hearing. The hearing itself is quite relaxed, I guess. The rules of evidence don't apply in the same way as they do in the formal court, the magistrate, the district, and the Supreme. So that's why it is really designed for the everyday person to go and argue their case. Nevertheless, I still help people. And the way that I help people is by preparing their documentation and then assisting them in preparing for a mediation or preparing for a hearing. As I always say to people, you probably more often than not have the matter knowledge. You know all the facts, you know what happened, you know the time that these things happened, and you'll know that better than me, okay? Granted. So it's really about making sure that when you get there, you're not in an emotional state. It's not an emotive argument you're making. You're using the facts and sticking with the clear law. And for a simple contract that's there was an agreement, the work was done, the work was not paid for. Something along those lines. So that's generally how I've been helping people in QCAT. And I think people just like the direction. But honestly, you can go there yourself and it's quite a simple area to deal with. I have a lot of gripes with QCAT. I won't lie to anyone. My biggest gripe is actually the monetary limit for minor debt disputes. I have so many people come to me that are on that cusp of the $30,000, $35,000. And when you're in QCAT, and I should say this as part of the podcast, sorry, it's a no-cost jurisdiction. It's very rare that costs can be awarded in QCAT. So usually what happens is the parties bear each other costs. When you go into the magistrate's court, you then have cost consequences. So if you lose, you might be liable to pay the other party's costs. So I think it's quite frustrating for me as a practitioner, and I'm sure it's frustrating for people out there that have a very legitimate claim at the $30,000, $35,000 mark, but they can't go to QCAT and they're stuck in the magistrate's court with the formal processes and procedures. So that's probably my biggest gripe with QCAT. I also think it would be more beneficial if QCAT was more open to getting legal representatives involved. I understand if you don't want us to hear the matter and you can apply. I should make that clear. It's a bit disorganized podcast today. I'd want to make it clear that you can apply to have legal representation at a mediation or a hearing. It's not always granted. It's usually granted in circumstances where you might be up against a larger corporation or a company and they have legal representation. So you are given legal representation, but it's not by right like it is in the formal court system. What I would love QCAT to do is be a little bit more open to lawyers assisting people with their matters. I think that it would save everyone a lot of time, give a lot of clear direction. But that's just my personal gripes that I have with QCAT. And, you know, I'm looking forward to somebody listening to this and changing the process. But in the meantime, I hope that I have given you a good overview of QCAT, my view on it, the things that I can do to help you. If you're interested in talking more about QCAT or you have a matter in QCAT or you're deciding whether you should go to QCAT or the magistrate's court, feel free to hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can talk it through and get it sorted. Thank you again for listening. I can't believe July is almost over. Next week, we're going to talk about what happens when you get a judgment and the steps you need to take. So have a great week. I'll speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.